Now make a list of anyone who owes you money and hasn't paid you back. And now when you call them on the phone, they let the answering machine screen out the call. When they find out it's you, they don't bother to answer. Anybody that owes you money and hasn't kept their word about it. Okay, to those people, you write them a letter and you make it a gift. What you freely give comes back to you multiplied. And in the letter, you can't make them wrong. So you have to write a letter that says, you know, I see that you haven't paid this amount that you've owed me for a while. And so I take it the money must be tight for you right now. So I hereby give this amount of money to you as a gift, and I release you from the debt. Thank you. Goodbye. When you can give it freely, it will come back multiplied. The larger gifts that you give to others, the larger gifts others will give to you. And there's three kinds of giving. There's charity, which is giving money to people who need it. There's generosity, which is giving money to people who don't need it. And then there's tithing. And tithing is acknowledging God as source in one's financial affairs. Tithe equals 10%. And our tithe goes to the organization or people who support us in our spiritual growth. It's an acknowledgement of God's partnership with us in our financial affairs. And it's not that God takes 10% and you get to keep 90. It's that when you give God 10, God lets you keep 90. If you don't give God 10, God keeps 90 and lets you keep 10. So it works that way. We had a girl we were working with tithe to the Alivening Project because she was getting her spiritual nourishment there. And when she finally decided that she would start tithing, she tithed $500, her first tithe. The next week when she went to work, she got an $8,000 bonus, a $5,000 raise, and another $5,000 bonus, all when she started tithing. We had another fella we were working with who was having a hard time with getting it about tithing. And finally he surrendered and he said, okay, I'm gonna do this. I'm going to tithe on all of my income for this month. In that month, he received $240,000 in cash. More money, he had no idea. His mother was very wealthy and she was elderly. And her accountants had told her that she could distribute $600,000 cash to the family tax-free, a one-time tax-free gift to her family of $600,000 out of her estate. And she distributed it to him in that month. And he got $240,000 as his share of that money. And he did tithe on it also. So tithing is acknowledging God as source in one's financial affairs. There's some good books about money that talks about tithing. One of them is Catherine Ponder's book, The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity and the Prosperity Secrets of the Ages. She's very good, powerful, positive affirmations about money. And she talks about tithing in there as well. So if you want to read up further on it, you can do that. Any questions about that? Okay, then on a fresh sheet of paper now, write the statement at the top of the page. The truth about money is. Okay, and then you say that statement to yourself. You listen to the next thought your mind has and you write it down. And you say that statement to yourself again and listen to the next thought your mind has. And write it down. And so you're emptying your mind on the paper of what your mind is saying the truth about money is. And when I did this one, I was going down and writing and writing and writing, and all of a sudden a voice screamed in my head, money sucks. And that was a stand that I took about money when I found that $5 bill and had that huge upset with my mom. My stand became money sucks. And so I had a problem with money from there on. So, if you get a loud one, put a check mark by it. Okay, going over your list, what do you notice?
I had a couple check marks.
Couple of check marks?
One was gimme, gimme, gimme. And one was that it's a heavy load to carry, and it's not worth it.
Wow.
Lose sleep over it.
It's a heavy load, not worthy to carry.
Yeah. What that thought was about was when, from being younger and having my brothers steal money from people.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, such a, I just felt so guilty knowing about it and worrying about them. And
mm-hmm.
That's why it was a heavy load to carry.
Mm-hmm. So you never turned them in or anything?
No, but I definitely lost sleep over it.
So you became an accessory.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Did you put that on your list? Accessory to theft?
I'll add it to the list.
Add it to it in there. Okay. Who else?
I am very competitive when it comes to what I make and what I'm doing
mm-hmm.
with my money. I like to show off. I like what I make is just extremely important, and I want to. And I'm competing once again with the minimum. I want to make more money than my dad makes. I want to make, eventually make more money than Rick makes. I want to make more money than David makes. And it's not the women that I, in my life, it's the men in my life that I compete with.
Yeah. Okay.
That just knocked me upside the head. I wasn't even aware of it.
Yeah. Good. Christina?
Well, it makes people change. It creates greed in people. It's just a piece of paper, and if you don't hold on to it, it's gone very fast. But you need it to survive, and you need it to buy stuff from them. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, couched in that list is your stand about money. And again, your stand about money was taken very early in your life. It might have been watching mom and dad and how they were with money. It might have invoked an income ceiling for you. A lot of people have an income ceiling, and that is based on how much money their parents had and how much money their parents made. So they will allow themselves to make just a little more than their parents did if we figured it out for inflation. But the standard of living is just a little better than it was for our parents. Because we don't want to insult our parents by making a whole lot more than we did. So we kind of limit our income to what theirs was or just a little bit better, adjusted out for inflation. So you might check to see if you've been doing that with your income. Just limiting it to a certain level. But couched in that list is your stand about money. And so now we're going to do an eyes closed regression process to allow you to go back to that point in your life when you took your stand about money, to see what you were doing, to see what others were doing, what you were saying, what others were saying, what you were feeling, what others were feeling, and what stand it is that you took about money. And then if it's not a positive stand, to complete that stand and take a new stand that will be positive so that it will build a positive relationship with money. So make yourself comfortable. Okay, who would like to share how that was for you, what you noticed?
Me first.
Christina?
Well, my parents were arguing. That was on the table. I don't know what I was wearing, but probably I had no shoes on. But I just was sitting like this. So I don't know what shoes I had on, but I didn't have a dress on. And I don't know what they were arguing about because I didn't understand. I mean, they were arguing in my language, but they were always arguing, and it's just, that's what I
remember. Okay.
And after that, this is what I don't. After that, everything was just pure and white once again, and there was this big white tan, which was white, and it wasn't really a tan, it was just like a sheet. And then the angels were coming and looked through a little hole they made, and I don't know, maybe it's just, I just made it up. That's what happened.
Good.
They were trying to come in, but I'm like, just leave me alone, because if I tell this story, they're going to think I'm crazy.
No, we don't think you're crazy. It's great to be visited by angels.
So that's what happened to me. It was very good. Now when the callers colors were surrounding me.
Mm-hmm.
I really imagined the color around me. So it was better than the first time because I just focused on it even more.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay.
I went bye-bye somewhere.
Okay.
Gone.
Did you go to sleep? Yes.
I don't think I was asleep, but just... I've gone out before during these meditations, but this weekend it's been different. I've been, like...
really?
Busy elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like sleeping. It's like, I don't know.
Okay. Karen?
I went right back to the time when I went to the little... I was in Florence, Kentucky. I was probably 6'5". I know I was... don't think I could have been in school yet because the store burned down before we moved. And we moved when I was in the second grade. So it was probably first or kindergarten. And... we went to the store, and Cindy Johnson decided that she was going to steal something, and I just thought it was exciting that she was going to do that, and I was just kind of, but I stood outside because I didn't want to go in while she was doing that, and so she went in and did what she did, and she came outside, and I was standing there, and a guy came outside because he saw her. And he caught her, and we both kind of got in trouble, but I don't remember what happened to me, but I know that I was absolutely, from that point forward, never allowed to have anything to do with that girl, and but I remember that incident, and just the whole idea that, you know, there's some people that people who did that were not the people that I should be associated with, or certainly, you know, I shouldn't play with the Johnsons because they do things like that.
Mm.
And I remember that incident, and I remembered there was another point, and I don't know what, if this happened before I remember that or after, but there was one point where we were surrounded with white light. And something, a big dark thing showed up, and I have no idea what it was. But something dark tried to come in, something definitely not nice tried to come in there, and I just thought, what are you doing here? Get out. I went away. But other than that, it was very pleasurable. I was just kind of zipping around through memories of that. So.
Okay, well, you completed your stand about money, and you took a new stand, and so it shifts the foundation of how money has been for you in your life. And so now it's important that you complete the integrity process and pay your fine, and then operate from your new stand about money, and from now on, keep your integrity with money, and money will come abundantly to you. Cool. I don't know what your stand was, but you did, and you completed it. It's just in there deeper. Let's take a break.